Hey, today we're going to do part three of historic market crashes in the United States. Today we're going to talk about the crash of 2008. Be right back. Hey peeps, please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let's get into this. What is going on, crypto family? So in today's video, we're going to be covering the next chapter in our quick and dirty series on the important stock market crashes. So far, I think we've talked about the 1987 and 1929 crashes. Both were similar in a lot of ways, but also showing big differences in the way our economy functioned and how we responded. Now, if you haven't checked out those two videos, you should check them out. Part of what this series is doing is looking at the common threads in all these situations and seeing what connects all of these events, what makes them different, and what we can learn from them. As I mentioned in the last video, when you look at the market crash of 87 and compare it to 29, there are a lot of things that are similar and even parts that were worse in the 80s, but the fallout was a lot different. 1929 led into the Great Depression, and there were fears of the same thing in 87, but really the market recovered very quickly. Now, in this video, we're going to get to the crash of 2008 and see how it compares. And I know that we're living in difficult times right now with the CV-19 and the spread of everything. It seems like things are taking some kind of crazy turn. Without even talking about the economy, it's clear that the world is a different place right now, and a lot of people are scared. When people get scared, typically banks get scared and the market suffers. Now, spoiler alert, I'll go into that a little bit more in the next video. However, what I wanna do is show no matter how scary things are right now, we have been through some crazy stuff in the past, and we have always bounced back. As far as history goes, 2008 wasn't that long ago. And for a lot of people, the 2008 stock market crash is not much more than I think I heard of that kind of thing. It didn't lead to a new Great Depression. It didn't turn into the collapse of the American or global economy. It wasn't the end of the world. And as much as it might feel like it sometimes, I don't believe the crash of 2020 will be either. Now, to be clear, I am not making light of the stock market crash of 2008 or any other one. A lot of people suffer when these things happen in a lot of different ways. People lost significant amounts in retirement investments, and many businesses had to close their doors. Also, while we tend to look at the economic issues in terms of big banks and big companies losing millions or even billions of dollars, and even having certain stocks fail, we can't forget the impact on the everyday person living paycheck to paycheck. I say this because for many, the crash is kind of a fuzzy memory of something that we've heard about on the news. That's because if you had a steady job and place to live and didn't invest in the market, it probably didn't affect you in the ways that you really noticed. Not everyone was that lucky, though. We saw hundreds of thousands of jobs lost and unemployment reached 10%, which was almost double from 2007. At the same time, these people were losing jobs. Many experienced a big decline in retirement savings, and a lot of people found themselves unable to afford their homes. Consumer spending dropped to World War II levels in 2007 through 2009, which hurt many small businesses who were already struggling. This ended up putting a serious dent in the economy. Once again, just to be clear, I'm not downplaying the seriousness of what people went through, but it's a good way to put things into perspective to see how bad things can get and how quickly we can recover. Maybe, just maybe, we can learn a little something from these past experiences to help us down the road. Now, the stock market crash of 2008 is an interesting one, and it's a good example of how these things are usually the result of a lot of different things coming together all at once. The stock market doesn't usually crash because of one event, but more like a series of events meeting in the middle and exploding, or actually imploding, right? The 2008 crash started with the housing market problems of 2006 and 2007 and kind of just spun out from there. The mortgage crisis, along with the irresponsible banking and investing strategies, put the economy on top of a big bubble ready to pop. Of course, economists warned of what could and obviously did happen. But people don't usually listen, you know, all that well when they're raking in a ton of money. So the banks pretty much just had their fingers in their ears the whole way through. As the housing market went through some big shifts and changes, risky investment strategies played out in the background. The sort of shorthand version of what happened is basically a lot of people bought more than they could afford and they couldn't make the payments. This happened when banks started giving out loans to people who were already really unlikely to be able to manage them, and those whose credit rating would have previously been a red flag, they were able to get these houses. The subprime mortgage crisis refers to this situation where banks were basically handing out loans to people that they wouldn't be able to sustain. Home prices were driving higher than their value, and people ended up getting themselves stuck in loans that they simply couldn't get out of. People then started defaulting on their loans because they couldn't make their payments, and as housing prices dropped, they couldn't sell either because they were upside down with the loan for way more than the value of their home could sell for. Many found themselves in a situation where they couldn't afford to pay their loans, but also couldn't afford to sell their houses either. Big banks that relied too heavily on subprime mortgages collapsed. Bear Stearns, a failing investment bank, along with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, known as the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, received bailouts from the Fed to prevent their collapses. The Lehman Brothers Investment Bank was next by filing for the largest bankruptcy in the U.S. at that time. Their filing sparked the beginning of the 2008 market crash and a new wave in government intervention. We saw bank bailouts left and right, and then the big auto companies got in on requesting their cut of the money. With each bailout, the market responded by dropping further and further. On September 29th, Congress voted again, a huge bailout bill. Investors responded with panic to the unstable markets, sending us into a full-on crash. Now, with all this, it probably sounds really bad, right? Well, it is. But coming back to my original goal of putting things into perspective, let's compare it to the crash of 29. Just like I pointed out in the previous video about 87, as bad as things get, our recovery time has gotten a lot better. When the market crashed in 29, it took roughly 25 years to recover. When we look at the recession that came from the 2008 crash, it took about 4 years to get us back on track. 2008 hit a lot of people hard, but it was also a good learning experience about credit and overspending. The whole housing crisis and subprime mortgage issue was basically caused by a circle of people spending money that they didn't have and bankers selling these loans to other investors. People were buying houses that they couldn't afford, while banks were relying on these mortgage payments to pay outside investors. It was kind of like an irresponsible kid with a high-limit credit card, but on a global scale. What's important is that we have the opportunity to learn from these mistakes and to see how to do better. Right now, we find ourselves in a new economic crisis, and hopefully, we can work smart to get to that light at the end of the tunnel. I'll have more to say about this on our next video, and on our next video, it's going to be a little different. So far, we've talked about the 20s, and we've talked about the 70s and the 80s. The next one will be different because we're going to talk about the great stock market crash of, you guessed it, 2020. This one won't be a look back at our history, but rather at current events, a glimpse into the mirror, so to speak. We're going to get into what's happening right now, how we got here, how this compares to what we've seen before, and where we might be headed. The thing is, no matter what happens next, we're all in this thing together. So come back next time, and I'll talk through some of the things that are happening right now.
Hey peeps, just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beetle shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beetles and his guests. Robert Beetles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of Trading View Sessions, Crypto Beetles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beetles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. God bless you. Love you. And I'll catch you all on the next one.